Thank you, Everbiter. I'm going to be speaking about foods and non-foods for Pesach. I'm going to start with the non-foods first. Before I start, I just wanted to mention something, which is I'm going to talk about all types of different things that I wanted to speak of. But really, the CRC puts out information for the public to help themselves. We don't have our Pesach guides here. I forgot to bring them. But we have a Pesach guide. We have things online. We have apps. We have videos to cash your house and make a car and things like that. So I just encourage you to help yourself. If you learn how to do it, you'll have the same information that the people in our office do and be just as smart as we are. I'm gonna start with some with non-food items. Feel free to interrupt me if you'd like. First, we'll start a group of items that have a potential question to them that they're coded with something that might potentially be chametz. And the code on the first group of them is a question of something made with starch. And when I say starch, and a lot of the things we're going to talk about today are things that could be made either from chametz or from kidneys or from something completely innocuous. Okay, so in each of the things that we're going to talk about, if I'm going to mention to you, there's a concern of the following thing. We don't know that thing is chametz, but it's potentially. They could use wheat starch, that would be chametz. They could use corn starch, and that would be kidneys. Or they could use, some other starch that's potato starch, which would be no issue. Okay, so the first thing is something that we find to be unusual, and that is disposable gloves. But for some reason in this industry, we have a very unusual thing, which is when they say it's powder-free, that glove has no powder on it, as we would imagine. And for some reason, when they say it's powderless, so in regular English, powderless means it has no powder on it, but for some reason in this industry, powderless means it has less powder. Okay, so for some reason that's how the industry works. So the ones that are powderless, or the ones that say that they have powder, in fact, do have powder on it, and therefore, we tell people to avoid those for Pesach if you can use them with food. Because that powder, again, it may or may not be chametz, that powder that's on there. The same as balloons also, it seems, have powder in them. But the good news from this side is that when you paper, as in paper plates and paper bags and all kinds of things made from paper, there is actually starch used in the making of the physical paper itself, but that's not in an edible form. Again, think about trying to eat a paper plate. Okay, so the starch that's used in the actual making of the paper plate or those paper items is not a concern. And they do not, to the best of our knowledge, put any powder onto the top. There are those who have suggested that. We've looked into it, and we don't find that anybody puts powder on the top of it. Therefore, those things could be used for hot or cold, whether there's anything special. No matter what, whichever one you have in your house, you could use it, even with hot. Those are a bunch of things that might have a powder on them. Then there's another group of items like this where the concern is that they may have an oil on top of them. Now, there's no such thing as oil that's chametz thing. But there is oil that's kidneys. Oil, like think of your house of corn oil and soybean oil, and canola oil. So those oils could be potentially kidneys. Kidneys, we don't even pay that. So some of the things that have on that is, on those two things that do or don't, in disposable pans, aluminum disposable pans, they're all coated with some kind of a coating, and the reason they're coated is because the way you make those pans is you have these long sheets of aluminum, and a machine stamps them out into the shape of a circle or a rectangle, and in order to keep it from ripping the foil, it's greased with some kind of an oil on it. The good news for you is that I tasted it, and that oil is not edible, so you don't have to worry about that oil. Okay, good news for you, not such good news for me, but it's fine, and you can use those pans, even though they are coated, by the nature of making a pan, you have to coat it, but that's okay. And regular aluminum foil is not coated, and you could use any aluminum foil. There are fancier aluminum foils. This one goes by the brand name Release. There are ones that are meant to be coated to help your food not stick to that. Those, we need to know whether they do or don't have chametz in them. In previous years, the Release was okay. But those, as we get closer to Pesach, we'll find out, if we can, whether they're okay or not, and then let you know when you could use them. But the regular aluminum foil that doesn't have any special coatings on it, is okay, and you could use that. Baking papers are also like that. The Most baking paper is just coated with a wax, and that's fine. You don't have, there's no problems. You could use it no matter what. There's something called parchment paper. Parchment paper, that coating is a more edible, which potentially oil coating, and that you need to know that it's okay. That doesn't have any chumtzeh. You have to know that it's okay for Pesach. I don't know if it has to have a symbol on it, but you have to find out. Either it has a symbol on it, or you, if we could find out for you, then we'll help you. Okay. Then, wax paper is okay. Regular wax paper is okay. It's the parchment paper has a coating on it that's more of an edible, oily coating. Okay. And then, I know I said we talk about not foods, but there's a food which is dried fruits. Dried fruits are also coated with an oil that's keep them from sticking to each other. I don't know if they are, but they're potentially covered with oil. Again, so we tell people to not use dried fruits unless they know that they're kosher pesach. Okay. Any questions on these coated items? Okay, I'll keep on moving. Okay. Yes?
So the powder-free gloves are okay?
Yeah, they're fine. Yes. Okay, can I just make just a general point that sort of everything I'm going to say, which is, when we talk about using things for Pesach, and if I tell you that something is okay without Hashgacha, I mean is, if you have a new package, okay, what I mean to say is you use paper plates that you use all year round. I don't mean you should take from the stack you have from the year round. Again, those are all around food and things like that. You have a package of gloves, so maybe think of it, you know, you're always sticking your hands into it while you're working with food. I mean it's a new box. But when I say it's okay without Hashgacha, I mean it's starting with a new package of whatever it is. Yes, there's a question. They're fine. They're fine. All those paper things are all fine. Paper is in place. Yeah. Hot also. Okay. Now the next group of things are items that you put into your mouth. Okay? Non-food items that you put into your mouth. For some of them that I'm going to mention, there's going to be a question about them having starches on them. One that I can think of. This is in the wrong list. Okay. I won't mention that one. And these have... The items that we're going to talk about here are things you put them into your mouth. They're not food items. We'll hear what they are in a second. And they all have concerns that they could be made for something that has chametz in them, potentially. But in this case, the chametz is not the starch. The chametz is as following. I'm going to give you a drop of science for a second. Starch is something that's made of long strings of sugars that are strung together. And when you string these long strings together, they get into the blander tasting starch. Okay? That sugar, it's called glucose, that sugar can be turned into all types of things. Okay? Magically, it turns into all kinds of things. Things that you've heard of, like alcohol. Like, you know, when you make whiskey or you make wine, that comes from the sugar that's in there, it turned into alcohol. It can turn into another thing called sorbitol. Right? Sorbitol, and the first thing I'm going to mention to you is toothpaste. Okay? The reason why toothpaste needs to be known to be kosher Pesach is because just about every single toothpaste out there has sorbitol in it. Sorbitol is a sweetener, but it's a sweetener that doesn't grow cavities on your teeth. So you can't put sugar into your toothpaste, that would sort of defeat the purpose. But they can put sorbitol into your toothpaste. Oh, just about every single one has it in there. Sorbitol is made from glucose. Glucose could come from chametz, or it could come from not chametz. So I'm going to mention a number of things that potentially have chametz in them, but these are things where the reason why it has chametz is because the sensitive ingredient that we have is something that's made from the sugar, from glucose, and that glucose can come from chametz, or from kidneys, or from sweet potatoes, from something that's not chametz at all, you know, it can come from any of them. Okay, so the first one that I mentioned, the toothpaste. There are those who have the opinion that toothpaste is considered not edible. And since if it's not edible, then you could use it no matter what. That's what the Seder tells people for year-round. There are kashrus issues to toothpaste as well. Year-round kashrus issues, the Seder tells people you can use any toothpaste you want to because for year-round we consider it to be inedible. If you want to avoid kashrus issues, we have some suggestions for you also, ones you could use. But we tell people you can use anyone. For Pesach, we tell people, no, you should use only, we could be concerned that maybe it is considered edible, and therefore you should use only the ones that have, basically they have Hashgacha for Pesach, because we haven't found one yet that doesn't have sorbitol on it. Okay. Another thing that's in toothpaste and in some of these other things is the flavors. Okay? When you see something that has a flavor to it, think about toothpaste, whatever flavor it has to it, bubblegum flavor, whatever flavor it has to it, I don't know, mint flavor, those are not made from... Okay. People ask us all the time when we switch. People say about grape flavored items. Okay, those items are not made from grapes. Okay? They never saw a grape ever in their life. Okay, and strawberry flavors never ever saw a strawberry or raspberry. No, 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 forget it. It never happened. Okay, it's made with a whole slew of chemicals. Those chemicals might come from natural sources, but the natural source is not the grape. It's just whatever they made it out of. Some of the times when they make them out of is things that come from the glucose that I just mentioned to you. Okay, magically they turn glucose into strawberry flavor. Okay, how that happens is magic. It's not important to us. But things that are flavors can have all kinds of things in them. Okay, so anything with a flavor is automatically sensitive. It could be hum stick, it could be not kosher, it could be all kinds of things. So a toothpaste, every toothpaste got a flavor in it also. So that's another reason why it's sensitive for Pesach. Okay, let's go through a few things. Wax for braces is just wax, and that's okay. You can use that if one of you or your children have braces, that's okay. You don't have to worry about that wax having anything hum stick in it. Rubber bands for children, people with braces on it, there's a concern that there's powder on top of those, and we tell people to rinse them off before they use them. Dental floss. The coating that's on the floss is okay. It's sort of like, it's like the wax that you use for braces, that's okay. We tell people to avoid ones that have flavors to them. Okay, not knowing what the flavor is to the dental floss, not knowing what's really in that flavor, we tell people to avoid ones with flavor in it. Lipsticks. Lipsticks have many ingredients in them that could be not kosher, but they have very few ingredients in them that could be chametz. Okay, and for the past few years, the CRC's looked through lipsticks. Lipsticks does go in your mouth. People are sensitive; they don't want to use it for Pesach if it might have chametz in it. So, at first, many years ago, the CRC would tell people what you should do is buy a lipstick that's kosher for Pesach. And people were scratching their heads, they're like, well, what does that mean? What am I supposed to do? I never saw one with a pee on it. What am I supposed to do with it? So for the past few years, we've looked at lipsticks. And what we do is, this year we looked at about 70 different lipsticks, 70 different types of lipstick. And it's about, I looked it up yesterday, it's about 2,800 ingredients in those lipsticks. And we have a long list of ones that are okay or not okay, or ones that you can't really sure, you can't know for sure whether they are or not okay. Okay, if you look at our listings in our Pesach book, you look in our app, you'll find all these things that are there. And very few of them have actual chametz in them. A certain amount of them have things that might or might not be chametz in them. We don't know. We list them as possible chametz. And lots of them that are completely, free of any concerns at all of chametz. So a person who wants to be careful should look for those, the right ones, and avoid them. Okay? Yes. It says on there you should only use it if it has no chametz in it. That's what it says on that letter. It says about lipstick. And so, as a response, the continuation of that is, okay, well, which lipstick can I use? So that's why we've gone through these types of lipstick to figure out what they are. Okay? Cigarettes is not on that list. We tell people, we don't recommend people smoke at all, but if they're smoking, then regular cigarettes are okay. The e-cigarettes have kashrus issues and chametz issues. We don't recommend those without hashgacha or without knowing that the chametz free, and the same for chewing tobacco. Okay. There's been a change, or if I actually just mentioned the Pesach letter, I was about to come to that, which is, there's been a change in the, every year there's a Pesach letter that's signed by Rabbi First, Rabbi Schwartz, and a few other people, which says all different types of medicine and cosmetic rules of what you can or cannot use. And there's a change, you may not have seen the letter yet, but there's a change on that letter for this year. And one of the things that has to do with is mouthwash, which I'm about to speak about. And that is like this. The sensitive ingredient in many items is alcohol. Okay, mouthwash is an example of that. It's something that has a sensitive ingredient of alcohol. Okay. I'm not saying this correctly. Okay. A sensitive ingredient is alcohol. When a person uses alcohol not for drinking, not for making beer or whiskey or something like that, they save a tremendous amount of money on taxes. Okay, which is to say, the opposite of that is the government charges a tremendous amount of tax on beverage alcohol. alcohol that you're going to drink. If a person buys a bottle of scotch, the government charged 100% tax on that bottle. So if it costs them $10 to make it, they sell it for $20 because 10 extra dollars goes to the government. If they're using the alcohol for not beverage uses, then they put something into it that makes it taste not good, and that alcohol they don't have to get a tax on. So if they're going to be using alcohol and making shoe polish, then they can save the tax by putting something into it. The word for it is called to denature it. They put something into it that makes it taste bad, or that's poisonous. And the government has all kinds of rules of how you denature alcohol for different things. There's a big question in the Poskim about whether denatured alcohol is mutter or asur on Pesach. Some people say it's allowed to eat it on Pesach because it's not edible. That's the whole point of denaturing it, is you denature it to make it not edible. That for example, the way they denature alcohol for making deodorant, my kids use a deodorant called Axe. It says on it how they denature it. There's a number next to it. You could tell what they use it. The denaturing that they use in that is something called Bitrix, which is, it's considered the most awful tasting thing in the world. Okay, they put it in at tiny 5 parts per million. It's enough. You can't get it into your mouth. So it tastes awful. So some people say, well, it's mutter because it's not edible. And others say there are reasons why it should be usher. Maybe you can get it out. For whatever reason, it's not for us to talk about right now. But there are those who think that even the denatured alcohol is still usher on Pesach. And until this year, that's what we told people. That was said on our letter, that if something was made with denatured alcohol, you shouldn't use it on Pesach. Unless you know that the alcohol is not chametz. And that's what was said until this year. For this year, there was a change in that letter. And the letter says the following. If you remember, I told you that these items, like alcohol, could be made from chametz, or they could be made from kidneys, or they could be made from things that are completely innocuous. They have no concerns at all. Well, it turns out that in the United States, almost all of that alcohol is made from kidneys. In the United States, almost all of that alcohol is made from corn. And therefore, since in the United States, typically it's made from corn, which is not chametz, and there are many holes anyhow that denatured alcohol would be permitted. So our letter for this year says that things that are made with denatured alcohol, if they're made in the United States, then they're okay. Then you could use them, even if you didn't know specifically that this brand made it without chametz in it. Now, that what I mentioned relates to things like cologne and perfume and deodorants and mousse and shaving cream and baby wipes. All those things, many of those things have alcohol in them. In previous years, we would say that those things should only be used if you know that they have no chametz in it. And in this year, we're saying to people, if it was made in the United States, or if you know it has no alcohol in it or no chametz in it, then you could use it. Okay, so that whole group of items, if you think about what perfume really is that it's alcohol with some fragrance to it. Okay, you spray it on yourself, or cologne or perfume on yourself, you spray it on it, the alcohol evaporates, leaving behind just the fragrance. That's what it is. It's basically a container full of alcohol with some fragrance to it. So those items, if they come made in the United States, then those items are okay. So that's a whole group of items that are switched, the rule from last year, so to speak, to this year, so to speak. Okay, now, I had started, the example I was about to say, which is not an example of what I just said, is mouthwash. Okay, I started with mouthwash, I was wrong. And that's because the way you denature alcohol from mouthwash is not like everything else. Okay, think about it. If they denature Axe for my kids, they can make it taste awful because you're not eating it. But mouthwash, you put into your mouth. Okay, you can't really make it taste awful. You can't put poison into mouthwash. This doesn't work. You can put poison into shoe polish. Okay, you can put poison. You can put awful tasting stuff into deodorant. That's not going to work for mouthwash. Okay, so how they get around that is not important for today. But leniency, that getting out of it for denatured alcohol for most things does not work for mouthwash. It doesn't work for things that are going to go into your mouth because they don't denature it the same way. How they do it is not so important, but they do denature it, but they don't denature it in a significant way that makes a difference. And therefore, for mouthwash, a person still needs to know that it's free of chametz. Essentially, that means it's buying one of the hashgacha. We don't have other ones that we can tell you that this one we know is free of chametz. Okay. one last thing before I move on to medicines, and that is, this is not for your mouth, and that is charcoal. Someone's going to be making a barbecue. Charcoal uses starch in the creation of the charcoal. Natural creation of the briquettes, it uses charcoal. You don't have to worry about that starch. That's not edible. Again, think about taking a bite out of a piece of charcoal. Okay? Or if you think, wonder if it's edible or not. Okay, so no, that's not edible. Even the briquettes that are, they say on them, apple flavor or hickory flavor, those items are not made with a flavor added into them. It's actually just made from a type of wood. Wood from an apple tree or wood from a hickory tree gives a certain fragrance to it, and those are okay. So you can use all, as far as we know, all briquettes, all charcoal is okay to use for this. Okay, I'm about to move on to medicine. Maybe there's any questions so far. Yes?
In the past, CRC or some other organizations take different types of toothpaste and mouthwashes. If you store them from previous years, can you still use them for this year?
If something was partial phasic last year, then it's partial phasic this year. That doesn't mean that if we recommended a brand last year, that same brand might not be okay this year. That I don't know. But if you have the same thing in your cabinet from last year, then it's still a question of this. Yes?
Is it safe to say that anything like with a perfume or deodorant, if the only thing that was questionable last year was DHL, that means that this year you can use, if it was made in the United States, and
yes,
it has an ingredient to DHL?
Yes, yes. I don't know if perfumes have ingredients in them. They may or may not. They all have alcohol in them. They all have denatured alcohol in them. If it was made in the United States, then it's okay. When I say made in the United States, it's because each country makes their alcohol from different things. In the United States, we have lots of corn. We make it from corn. From different country, if you buy it from France, it's likely that it's hummus, actually. Because in Europe, there's loads of wheat, and they make all their alcohol out of wheat. So we have a different question than they do. But if it was made locally, then you're okay. Again? Yeah, but it doesn't have any sensitive things to it. The plastic. No, I said the denatured alcohol that goes into your mouth is special. Yes, but. Oh. Okay, so I didn't think to connect that over here, but yes, all the plastics are okay. They're okay. Right. Okay. Okay. Let's do a little. Medicines and cosmetics. As was mentioned, there's a letter that's put out. It's put out by our community, but it's really something that's read all over the place. We really get calls about it from all over the place, and it's worth reading the letter. It's one page. And the basic rule you're going to see on there is, if something is in a pill form, then it's okay to use it for Pesach. That's considered not edible. That rule doesn't apply to vitamins, but for most pills that people take, that applies. If something's in a gel cap, gel caps have year-round kashrus concerns. They're made out of animal bones, animal hides, usually pig skins, actually. So that they have year-round kashrus concerns. They don't have particular Pesach concerns. But liquids and powders and chewables, those items do have Pesach, potentially have things in them that are potentially chametzic. And therefore, those you need to know that they don't have any chametz in them. At the same time, there are many reasons why a person might be able to take those, or they or their child might be able to take those items, even if they have a possible chametz in them. So I say that because a person shouldn't say, oh, I read the letter, or I heard Rabbi Cohen speak about it, and he said you shouldn't use a chewable and therefore not take their medicine. They should definitely speak to their rabbi and their doctor before they stop taking something. Because in many situations, when a person calls, the letter says, you have to know it's okay. But when the person calls and says, I need to take the medicine for the following reason, and tell me, should I use it or should I not, depending on what's in there, depending on this person's situation, they may be allowed to take it anyhow. It's worth bearing that in mind. So I said to you that these items, the liquids and the chewables and the powders, you need to know that they're free of chametz. Okay, well, how am I supposed to know that? How will I know if they're free of chametz? So there are some people who go out and come to the companies, and they approach the companies and say, tell us if these things have chametz in them. And they report along a list of items that the companies told them to do or don't have chametz in them. Well, and there's definitely value to that. We are not so excited about that method. We use a different method. We have lists of different items that we think are okay for people. Okay or not okay. And the way we do it is, we have a different approach, which is we send people to the pharmacy who sit and collect the ingredients listed on those items, on the regular over-the-counter items. And then we look at those lists of ingredients and say, are these ingredients the ingredients that are sensitive to Pesach? Okay, are they sensitive? Are they bottled? Maybe there's in tiny amounts and we can figure out that they're not a concern. And we look through them and based on that, try to give a judgment as to whether they are or not okay for Pesach. So, for example, there's a common question that people ask is they need a laxative for Pesach. So, there's two extremes in the laxative. Most laxatives are in the middle, but there are two extremes. One is Miralax. Okay, Miralax or polyethylene glycol. Okay, it's made from petroleum, and there's no kashrus or chametz concerns with it. It's 100% okay. The other extreme is something called Benefiber. Benefiber is made from wheat starch. That's the only ingredient that's in there. Okay, so that's completely chametz. Okay, so we have two opposite extremes. And then there's most of the other laxatives fall in the middle there, where they have some ingredients that may or may not be okay. Okay, so what you get from that is, if you look at our list, or you type into our app, let's say, laxative, you'll see all types of things that are listed there, and you'll be able to, ones that are okay or not okay, based on somebody who we had a rabbi looking at the ingredient panel of what you're holding in your hand to say whether it is or is not okay. Yeah, it's essentially, it lists everything that's in the product. I don't know if that works for medicinal items. I'm not sure if it works like that. I don't know. We take it as is what it is. So we have one list of medicines. What happens is that you're going to run into something that we didn't find. Okay, we only went to that many pharmacies and found that many things. So what we ask people to do is when they find something and they're not on our list, we ask them to, if they have a smartphone, take a picture of it, or some other way to get us a list of the front of it and the back of it. So we know what the product is, and we know what the ingredients are in it, and send it in to us. You can send it to info@csuweb.org, or find some other way to send it to us, and one of our people will look at it. That's basically what we do from Purim to Pesach, is try to help consumers with Pesach. Okay. I'm about to go to food. If anybody has any questions about non-food before I go on? Yes. Excuse me?
Which hazel?
I don't remember offhand. And what I recommend is, you could do what I'm going to do when I sit down. I'm going to open up our app and look at it for ourselves. I have no idea. I don't remember offhand.
Okay.
For those of you who are more advanced, we have more advanced phones, we have a different site called Ask CRC. Okay, and Ask CRC opens you up to just a little search box. It works all year round, but for Pesach, you could tell it, I want to know answers to Pesach questions. And if you type into the witch hazel, I assume that the answer is there. Okay? And if
it's not an app?
No, it's not an app, just a website. But it's a website that works well for mobile phones. It just opens up to a search box. When you open that search box, you type in witch hazel, and hopefully it'll have the answer. If it doesn't, then if we catch it, we'll stick it in. We'll find out the answer and stick it in there for the next person. Okay, let's go on to some foods. Before I start the foods, I'm going to just mention something. Nothing. It really doesn't have to do with Pesach per se, but it has to do with Yom Tov. And that is that Sukkot's time, the CRC was looking into pump pots and urns. You may or may not have heard about this. Many of them say on them that you can add cold water to them on Yom Tov. It says on the box, you can add cold water to them on Yom Tov. In fact, we found out that that's not 100% true. Okay, really, in certain types of them, and particularly ones that were being sold in this area, if you add cold water on Yom Tov, you essentially were turning it on. As soon as you add cold water, you turn the machine on. Some people have made changes, and some brands are completely fine. You actually can add cold water on Yom Tov. They were correct when they said that. But there are ones that weren't, so you should just look at what you have, or talk to your rabbi to find out if it's really okay to add cold water on Yom Tov. Okay, let's go to some... So if she's seeing an app that says 2016, that's because you have an Android phone. You have an iPhone, and it says 2016?
No, I just updated it.
And it says 2016?
No, I just updated the app. It says Passover 2016. too. Crazy.
That's terrible. Okay, that's terrible. Okay, the Android app actually has been doing that, and the Android app this week is going to be changed over to a whole new form. I believe you. I'll tell the people, the Android one has been doing funny things. It's been completely changed over. Actually, it's supposed to come out this week, the new version. The iPhone one, I'm surprised to hear, and we'll try to fix it. The data should be correct. I believe the data will be correct, even if it says the wrong thing on paper. Okay, let's do some foods. Rabbi Biter, how much time?
15 minutes.
Fine, I'll do what I can. Okay, I'm going to pick some food items that I think we get questions about, and then when I'm finished, you can ask me for other things. Okay, one of the questions we get from people is, if I have food that says on it that it's gluten-free, does that tell me that I could use it for Pesach? Because, I mean, you know, the 5 grains that you can't eat on Pesach are the ones that people who are gluten-free can't eat. So if it says on the gluten-free, does that mean that I'm okay to use it for Pesach? And the answer is no. Okay, there's three reasons why the answer to that is no. Well, 3.5 reasons. The first is, the simple reason is that people who are gluten-free can still eat kidneys. Okay, so it can be made from corn and rice and soy, which it commonly is. That's what gluten-free foods are made out of. And so it may not be chametz stick, but it would be kidneys. Okay, the second is, one of the 5 grains that we're not eating on Pesach is oats. And oats do not inherently have any gluten to them. So you can buy gluten-free oats. Okay, and actually, an example of that is that this year, just before last year Pesach, Cheerios, the main varieties of Cheerios all became gluten-free. Okay, Cheerios, of course, is chametz. Okay, the whole thing is, it's all oats, but it's gluten-free, because it's made from gluten-free oats. So gluten-free oats is another reason why something that's gluten-free might be purely chametz. And the last reason is, that is a little more technical, that is, people who need to be gluten-free, people who are celiac, it's because they're allergic to the protein that's in the grain, and if you make a product that has no protein in it, then it could be gluten-free, even though it's made from pure chametz. As an example, we had a company that gave us some product information about scotch. The product information had nothing with kashrus, had nothing to do with anything. It was along pages and pages of details about their product, and one of the questions along the way was, is your product gluten-free? And they said, yes, it's gluten-free. And I'm sure they were telling us the truth, that it was gluten-free, even though it was purely chametz. And that's because it had no protein in it. It only had the alcohol made from the glucose, from the starch, however that happens, but it was completely gluten-free. So the fact that something is listed as being, if something is gluten-free, does not mean that thing is kosher. Okay. I mentioned beforehand that alcohol could be made from chametz, or from kidneys. There's two other things that happen when you make alcohol. Two other possibilities of things that happen when you make alcohol. One is a byproduct of making alcohol is carbon dioxide. When you turn sugar into alcohol, it also makes carbon dioxide at the same time. And for that reason, we tell people that if they want to buy seltzer or some other carbonated beverage, they need to know that the seltzer of it, the carbon dioxide of it, is kosher Pesach. If you have your own seltzer maker at home, you need to find out if that the gas that you have, the canister with gas in it, may have come from chametz. Okay, there are 3 things that we tell people that they should. If they buy it before Pesach, it's okay to use it. It's better to always buy things with the hashgacha Pesach if you could, but if not, you should buy it before Pesach, but not on Pesach. Okay, and those things are milk, eggs, and cut vegetables, like steak salads or cut up carrots or something like that. Okay? So milk, eggs, and cut vegetables. And the reason for those 3 things is all the same. That is, these are items that are sold fresh. Okay, when a chicken lays an egg today, it's going to be in the supermarket tomorrow. Okay? Well, I don't know tomorrow, but within the next couple of days. When you cut up vegetables, they come to the store pretty quickly. Okay, so milk, eggs, and these cut vegetables come to the store quickly. All of these 3 things have a small chance that there's some chametz in them. You know, when you make milk, in the United States, you sell milk, it has to have vitamins that are in it to it. When you have vegetables, there's something in the wash while they make those vegetables and the eggs as well. There's chemicals that are in there that potentially are chametz. Okay? Most likely they're not. Most likely none of these things are chametz. But if it happened before Pesach, it would be batel. Things that are in tiny amounts are batel. They don't make a difference to us. But if it happens on Pesach, chametz can't be batel on Pesach. And therefore, if I have vegetables, I buy a big salad on Pesach. I buy baby carrots on Pesach. Those may have been washed yesterday with some that had chametz in them, and it wouldn't be batel. If I buy it before Pesach, then even if it was washed with this thing that might have been chametz, it would have been batel, and I'd be allowed to eat. Okay. Okay, so Chol V'Yisrael milk is an exception, and that's because nobody makes Chol V'Yisrael milk on Pesach. If you buy Chol V'Yisrael milk, nobody milks Chol V'Yisrael milk on Pesach. Actually, and nobody makes anything that's kosher to Pesach on Pesach. I mean, unless you have like a restaurant. No food that's marked as being kosher to Pesach is made on Pesach. It's all made before Pesach, and Chol V'Yisrael is all also made before. Yes?
So the cut vegetables, what about the prepackaged salad bags?
Same thing. If you buy them before Pesach, that's good, that's okay. There's always a preference about hashgacha. You know that you're free of concerns. But if you buy it before Pesach, you're okay. If you buy it on Pesach, it may have been packaged yesterday, and then you have to be concerned. So if you buy it this year, Pesach's on Monday night. If you buy it on Monday, you're safe. If you buy it on Chol HaMoed, then that's it. If it has kosher Pesach, then you're okay. If it's marked as being kosher Pesach, that's fine. That doesn't mean it was made on Pesach. But whatever it made, if it has something that's marked kosher Pesach, then you're safe. Then you're not a problem. I meant this, you're buying without hashkacha. You're just walking in and just buying a bag of sliced cucumbers and carrots.
They make salad bags.
They're kosher Pesach, that's fine. Okay. I'm going to do a demonstration in a second. Let me just piss me off you people. You got it from, that'll make life easier for you. Okay, while it's passing around, let me talk about something else. Okay, nuts. Okay, nuts for Pesach. Okay, there's one type of nuts that we consider to be kidneys, that's peanuts. Most of Americans consider that to be kidneys. Other parts of the world do not, but most of Americans consider it to be peanuts. It can be kidneys. Pecans are different than other nuts, that when pecans are cut up, out of their shell and in pieces. There's a concern that they wash them or they float them with alcohol. So we tell people to avoid pecans that are out of their shells unless they have hashgacha of Pesach. But all the rest of the nuts, as long as they're raw, even if they're out of their shell, as long as they're raw and they're not blanched, they're not roasted, and they have no BHA, BHT, and they are not ground up into a powder, they're okay. So if you want to buy, let's say, for example, whole almonds, okay, and almonds that are not in the shell, and you're getting raw ones, they're not roasted, and they're not blanched, and they're not anything else, then they're okay. You don't have to buy them kosher Pesach. Okay? If they are ground, or they're roasted, or something else, then there's all kinds of questions about what else was done on that equipment. Was it ground together on the same machine that grounds breadcrumbs? Was it roasted? Was it blanched together in the same machine that uses pasta? So those you need to have hashgacha Pesach. But if it's whole, and even if it's out of its shell, then that's okay. Okay, right now everybody's got their pieces of coffee. Okay, so I'm going to show you something about coffee, and that is as follows. Coffee inherently is kosher Pesach. If you buy ground coffee that needs to be, go through a percolator, needs to be through a drip coffee machine, as long as it's not flavored, it's okay. Okay, just the plain ground coffee beans, as long as it's not decaffeinated, it's okay. Okay? Not decaffeinated and not flavored. So you want plain old coffee, that's fine. What you see in front of you, for those who took, is instant coffee. Instant coffee means is that in the coffee company, they cooked up a pot of coffee. They took this cooked up pot of coffee, and then they removed all the water from it, so that you could have a little powder that when you pour it into your water, it'll turn back into a cup of coffee. Okay? There are two ways that companies make instant coffee. One is called freeze drying, and one is called spray drying. Okay? The freeze dried coffee is okay for Pesach. You could use it for Pesach. There's nothing else in there. It's just coffee. The spray dried coffee sometimes has starch or flour mixed into it when they spray dry. Okay? Now, if you call the CRC or you open up the OU's book, the OU gives Hashgacha on so many of these coffees, they tell you these brands you can use without Hashgacha for Pesach. Okay? What they're really telling you is these brands are freeze dried, okay, and they don't have any other ingredients mixed into them. Okay? So if you look at the powders that I gave you, I'll tell you how you can tell yourself if it's freeze-dried or if it's spray-dried. You can go home and try it at home afterwards. Okay? The freeze-dried coffee, it was in the green cup. Green like as in good, like go ahead. Okay? The freeze-dried coffee comes out in chunks. Okay? If you look at the pieces, you'll see that you can break them apart, but they're in chunks. As opposed to the I'm making a mess up here. As opposed to the spray-dried coffee is a little clumpy, but it's a powder. If you put it between your fingers, in a second, it turns right back into the powder that it started as. Okay, they do something to make it stick together, but essentially, it's a powder. As opposed to the freeze-dried, it's not a powder. The freeze-dried is chunks. You can break it into smaller chunks, but you can't break it into a powder. Okay, you could try it yourself. If not, you can come over to me after, and I can show you in front of you in your hand. Yes, but the one that was in the green cup, the freeze-dried, when you break it apart, it stays as chunks, okay? If you take the spray-dried one, when you put it between your fingers, it turns into a powder. It just falls right back into the powder that it was, and that one potentially has problems with that. That's why it's in the red cup, as in don't use this for Pesach, unless you know it's Kosher Pesach. Okay. Okay, very good question. K-cups, I was about to say that. About K-cups, we don't recommend them for Pesach unless they have a special hashgacha. And the reason is because when you make a K-cup, actually has just ground coffee. It's not instant. The problem is that in a K-cup, there's very little time for the water to pass through and draw the flavor out of the beans. In a regular percolator, it takes a while. The water slowly, that's why it's called a percolator, it percolates through the thing and draws out the flavor. In a K-cup, it has to work faster. So what they do is, they grind it up very finely, and they do a process called agglomeration. Okay. It's a big word, but it means there's potential that they add starches back into it. So the K-cup may not just, even though it says it has coffee in it, there's a concern that that process has other things in it also. We don't recommend using it for this. The OU gives hashgacha on any of them, and in their book, it says to you which ones. Long list of brands that are okay without Hashgacha and Pesach, that's good with us. You know, they take responsibility for it, they know that it's nothing else in there, and that's good. Okay, I'm winding down. Frozen fruits and vegetables. So, as you know, there are certain vegetables that you can't eat because they're kidneys, like corn and string beans and soybeans. Okay, some of those things, you can't eat them because they're not Kosher with Pesach. Okay, so obviously, what I'm about to say does not include those. But the other things, if they are the frozen vegetables, if they don't have other ingredients and they're not blanched, then they're okay. So if a person has a bag of frozen carrots, or I was about to say peas, but peas are not good. Peas are kidneys. Frozen carrots. Then those vegetables, they're okay as long as there's nothing else in there. A person has frozen fruit, frozen strawberries or, I don't know, whatever fruits that they have, assuming there's nothing else in there, then they're okay. Now, a lot of times there are other things in there, like sugar. Sugar is okay, but there may be other sweeteners, there may be flavors in them. So if there are other ingredients in there that are sensitive for Pesach, then you shouldn't use them unless they're kosher Pesach. Okay, but if they have nothing else in them, if it's just the fruit itself, or just the vegetable, and the vegetable itself is not kidneys, then you're okay. And that's because these companies tend to be, if not that the equipment is completely dedicated, but at least for the season it's dedicated. What I'm saying is that during the season when they're bringing in carrots, that's what they do for how many weeks straight. And then they get the corn, they do lots of corn straight. And they tend to be okay. Okay, one last thing. And then I'll take a question, my time's up. and that is meat and chicken, things like that. If they're fresh, then they're okay. If they are ground, then we recommend you only use it as a kosher Pesach. I believe that this time already, all the local stores are already kosher Pesach. That if you go into Hungary now and you want to buy, you know, some even ground chicken, I believe it's already kosher. I believe it's already kosher Pesach. But if you have something sitting in your freezer, then we would not use it on Pesach unless you knew it was already kosher Pesach. Okay. Any questions?
Yes.
Yes.
So you're saying that the coffee, the freeze-dried regular coffee, and the fruits and vegetables that are not large, that have nothing else in it, can be bought without any extra?
Correct. Coffee is a great example of something that needs a new can. You shouldn't use the same thing you've been using all year round. But otherwise, you could,
so
yes.
So have to have an extra.
Correct.
So which vegetables?
Not, and when I coffee, I'll say it again, not decaf and not flavored. We're just the plain old
freeze dried.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Frozen fish.
Frozen fish. Okay, now, I should have mentioned it. Sorry, I forgot that. Okay, frozen fish has a concern that they glaze the fish before they freeze it. I'm not sure exactly why that happens just for fish. So we tell people to not use the fish. If they need to, they could rinse it off beforehand. About frozen fish. So frozen fish, I'm going to write down a note for the next time. Frozen fish, sometimes gets glazed. They put a glaze on top of it. A lot of times it's just water, but sometimes it has corn syrup to it also. So we don't recommend frozen fish. Okay, anything else? Okay, thank you very much, everybody.